Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Chapter 3 of Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics, there occurs a very important discussion, quite lengthy actually, on Aristotle's part dealing with the relationship between pleasure and pain, on the one hand, these affective states, and virtue and vice on the other hand. And really what it comes down to is an extended argument about why pleasure and pain are important for the person who is concerned with virtue or vice to take into account. Pleasure and pain, as Aristotle says, provide a kind of index or sign, more literally, semeion, of the dispositions that a person has. So if you want to know whether they really are virtuous or vicious, you have to look not just at what they're doing, but how they're feeling about it. And so likewise, if we're going to think about our own case, whether we're virtuous or vicious or somewhere in between, we want to look at where pleasure and pain arise for us. So Aristotle will say, for example, in that section, the temperate person is not simply one who does temperate actions, but somebody who feels pleasure in doing or even in considering temperate actions, and who feels a sense of pain or disease. The lupe can mean not just physical pain like poking yourself, but a kind of anguish or being troubled. The temperate person, in seeing other people act intemperately, is affectively bothered by it. But when they see other people acting temperately, they enjoy it. And when they do it themselves, they enjoy it. And this is a very important index, like we said, because if you don't actually enjoy doing the right thing, that means that you're not quite virtuous yet. All that said, let's take a look at these really fascinating arguments, or points rather, that are being advanced. The first one, he says, is pleasure and pain are motives for action. And specifically, I didn't put this all on the board, he says, pleasure causes us to do base or ignoble, the opposite of the calon, the beautiful. It causes us to do actions that we regret later on, that we think there's something beneath us involved in that. And we could think of all sorts of pleasures, the pleasures of taste, the pleasures of a sexual desire, the pleasures of drink or intoxicants, other pleasures, you know. Pleasure can lead us to doing things that we recognize as not being the right thing. Likewise, pain can keep us from doing the right thing. Pain can keep us from, as Aristotle says, noble actions, and so we want to pay very close attention to it. So that's actions. The virtues are concerned with the actions. They're also concerned with emotions, and that is point two. Pain and pleasure are connected with the emotions. How so? It's not just that they're all affective states as opposed to, say, cognition or something like that. Many of the emotions are involving pleasure and pain, sometimes in complicated ways. For example, anger, one of the most complex of the emotions in the Aristotelian understanding. Anger involves a pain at being slighted by somebody, but it also involves a kind of pleasure in aiming at and thinking about the retribution that one is going to impose upon them. So it's mingled together, pleasure and pain. And there's many other emotions that involve pleasure or pain as well. Third point, pain is, as Aristotle says, the medium of punishment. There he's using a different term than retribution. Retribution is timoresis. This is colossus, the sort of thing that you impose trying to wean somebody away from behavior that you don't want them to be doing, that's bad for them, bad for other people. And so pain plays into virtue and vice in that if you're trying to dissuade somebody from vice, you might actually make it painful for them to engage in it. Another point that he's got here that kind of ties in with the first point, he says that people are corrupted through pleasures and pains. That is, they're made worse in respect of their moral status. So he says, men are corrupted through pleasures and pains, either by pursuing and avoiding the wrong pleasures and pains, or pursuing and avoiding them at the wrong time, or in the wrong manner, or in one of the other wrong ways under which errors of conduct can be logically classified. What we see here is the discussion of the many rights and wrongs that go into the virtuous mean. So it's not just a matter of what we do or the emotions we feel. It's also the pleasures and pains that we pursue or avoid, you know, at the right time, at the wrong time, in the right way, in the wrong way, and so on. Those can have a very important effect on whether we cultivate virtue or vice. And we can use how a person is behaving, like I said, as a sign or an index of whether they are on the track to virtue or on the downward slide towards vice. Here in the fifth point, he talks about a number of ranges of value. And some of these are not directly relevant to this. For instance, the useful and the harmful, even the noble and the ignoble or the base. Here he's primarily interested in the fact that there is the pleasurable and the painful, and people get mixed up about this and disagree about them. Aristotle thinks that the person who actually is virtuous, the person who has cultivated nobility, has the best understanding of what truly is pleasurable and what truly is painful. What that means is that we're a bit mixed up about this, and we're liable, until we cultivate virtue, to go astray with respect to evaluating pleasures and pains. He's got another interesting argument. The sixth point, we are prone from birth to follow pleasure. It's a very natural thing for us. Freud actually calls this the pleasure principle, right? That beings desire the pleasure. He's not coming up with that, by the way. The Epicureans knew that. Plato and Aristotle already knew that. So it's something that we need to be on guard against. And he doesn't say, oh, well, we need to be on guard against this, so therefore pleasure is bad. As a matter of fact, pleasure is a good thing. It's, you know, in the range of moral qualities as a good thing. But we do need to be more careful precisely because it is such a part of our nature. The seventh point, he says that pleasure and pain are standards by which we order our actions. The term that he actually uses there in the Greek is kanonizomen. That's the first person plural of it, saying that we regulate or we, strictly speaking, apply a measure, a canon, a rule. So if we're not careful about how we're applying this standard, we can get ourselves in lots of trouble. If we adopt a very strict hedonism and say that pleasure is really the only good, that's going to make it very difficult for us to cultivate virtue in the way that Aristotle understands it. Likewise, if we're always just trying to avoid pain, also going to be very difficult. Think about the way courage would play out, right? It's not fun to be afraid, and so our tendency might be to turn away from anything that makes us nervous or anxious. And if we do that, we become cowards, and we lose the pleasure in the process, but perhaps avoid some pains. The eighth and final point is a very interesting thing that he says. He actually quotes Heraclitus here. He says, it's harder to fight against pleasure than anger. And we know how hard it is to fight against anger because Heraclitus told us about that. But virtue is concerned with the difficult. Virtue cultivates what is best in human beings by raising them out of the mediocre to something higher. So if it is harder to fight against pleasure than anger, and anger is very tough to control, isn't it? And tough to say no to, then virtue is going to be eminently concerned with pleasure. So all of these are reasons why pleasure and pain matter to virtue. But keep in mind that all of them feed into this notion that what a person feels pleasure in or pain in is a sign of their inner dispositions, whether they are virtuous, vicious, or somewhere in between.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.